जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जसोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना जसोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना चिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्यस्तु तरसत्त श्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सक हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, verse number 46, the last verse of the chapter. Sri Narada Uvacha, Daman Paramahamsam Vai, Dharmam Paramahansyam Vai Muneshuta Vasheshvaraha Muneshutva Shureshvaraha Pujja Yitva Tata Prita Puja yitva tata prita amritya parayogriham amantriya parayogriham Sri Narada Uvacha Dhammam Paramahamsyam Vai Muneshutva Sureshvaraha Puja Yitva Tata Prita Amantriya Parayogriham Narada Ravacha. Sri Narada Muni said, Dharma, the occupational duty, Paramahansyam, of the Paramahansas, the most perfect human beings, Vai, indeed, Munhe, from the saintly person, Shutva, thus hearing, Asum Ishvaraha, the king of the Asuras, Prahlad Maharaj, Puja Yitva, by worshipping the saintly person, Tata, thereafter, Prita, being very pleased, Amantriya, taking permission, Prayayau, left that place, Griham, for his home. Translation, Sri Narad Muni continued. After Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint, he understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, Paramahansa. Thus, he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and then left for his own home. Do you repeat the translation? Okay. Sri Narad Muni continued. Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint. He understood after Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the demons, heard these instructions from the saint. He understood the occupational duties of a perfect person, Paramahansa. Thus he duly worshipped the saint, took his permission, and left for his own home. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila verse 128, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, shudra keni noi, jai krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. A guru, or spiritual master, can be anyone who is well conversant with the science of Krishna. Therefore, although Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha, ruling over the demons, he was a Paramahansa, the best of human beings, and thus he is our guru. In the list of gurus or authorized authorities, Prahlad Maharaj's name is therefore mentioned. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu Komara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Verse 20. The conclusion is that a Paramahansa is an exalted devotee, Bhagavat Priya. Such a Paramahansa may be in any stage of life, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, and be equally liberated and exalted. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. I didn't do the invocation, did I? I don't give class in temples very often. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. उमर्यनाथि मिरन्धस्यागनञ्जनाशलकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापरकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां सकृजातं सहागना रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहागना ललिता श्रीविशाखन्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्राणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकौपातृभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धोभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुन् दीनतारणम् नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चादेशतारिणे In the material world, nothing is fixed. Everything is in motion. But this motion is within the interaction of the three modes of material nature. Everything in the material world is being conducted by the three modes of material nature. And there's a kind of paradox in that nothing is static. Everything is constantly changing. But at the same time, nothing changes. Everything is static in the material world. That, like I said, that seems like a contradictory thing, like a total paradox. But then when you consider, we use the word, I have to ask, what is that little noise? Oh, hello? Oh yeah, it goes up. Yeah. I was here when we were having a lot of trouble with these local council about the noise level, and they used to, at Mongolati, they used to have a car outside here measuring the noise level, and there used to be windows here between the pillars. It was windows. So we had to have them all bricked up and everything. Such is the history of things. Anyway, in our language that we use, we have the word ecstasy. Ecstasy. It comes from a Greek word meaning ekstasy. Stasy meaning static. So out of the static. So in the material world, everything is being conducted by the three modes of material nature. Everything is moving. But it is all within a closed system. And within that system, actually nothing changes. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravatinojana. From the highest planet to the lowest planet, the same thing is going on. The repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age. Places of misery. Everyone is hungry. From the lowest planet to the highest planet, everybody's in a mistaken state of consciousness, thinking that they're hungry for material things, or that their hunger can be satisfied by contact with the best that the world has to offer. But it doesn't matter where you go in the material world, everyone's hungry, because the hunger is for spiritual things, spiritual food, spiritual association, spiritual life. But we've forgotten what that is. By entering the material world, we have to accept total forgetfulness of the spiritual world. And that means total forgetfulness of ourselves as we actually are. And that means total forgetfulness of Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. Because our constitutional position is that we are all the eternal, intimate servants of Krishna. All living entities, Prabhupada stresses so many times, the relationship with Krishna is a very personal, intimate relationship. And all of that is forgotten immediately we enter the material world. But because our constitution is that we are meant to be lovers of, we are lovers of Krishna. Everyone in the spiritual world, everyone loves Krishna. We understand that that love is exchanged within different rasas, different mellows, but it is love. All relationships are equally entered into by Krishna with all devotees. But immediately we forget that, we begin to miss Krishna. We miss him. But because we've forgotten him, we don't know what it is that we are missing. And by this stage, we are in contact with the three modes of material nature. Primarily, we're in contact with the mode of passion, which gives rise to all manner of propositions to us, that this is what will make you happy. Contact with this was what will make you happy. You can give your love to this or that. And there's a saying that if you don't give your love to Krishna, then you'll give your love to anything. But love is a reciprocal relationship. And so therefore, although the loving propensity doesn't go away and we give our love to temporary things, and we always meet with misery, we always meet with frustration in the material world. And it never changes, although it continually changes. The same result happens again, over and over again. And there's there was a saying, we quote people, Einstein, he made the statement once that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different result. And the sad fact of the situation in the material world is that actually it's a madhouse. Everyone's crazy here. We're all insane. Because we're taking that which is not to be that which is. This is Maya. That which is not, but which appears to be. Bhagavatam begins by telling us that this material world, although it appears real to great saints and demigods, the greatest personalities in the universe, this material creation appears real to them, appears real, but it is unreal. And you can say, well, what do you mean, unreal? It's real? This is real? Yes, it is real in that it exists, but its existence is temporary. It is a manifestation of something temporary. The material energy itself and the living entities are eternal. But the manifestations of the forms of matter are all temporary. And in that sense, in the ultimate issue, they don't exist. They don't exist. That which exists is that which does not change. What is that verse in the second chapter? Nashato vijite bhavo, na bhavo vijite sataha. Those who are seers of the truth, they have understood this, that of the non-existent, there is no endurance. And of the eternal soul, there is no cessation. So having grasped that concept, then we have to understand that the material world is set up as a wheel. It's very interesting how so many gambling games are related to a wheel. There's the roulette wheel, the wheel of fortune, spin the wheel, and oh, I win a prize. The whole universe is like that. You take your chance, you throw the dice, you throw the whatever it is, and you, oh, I go to heaven. Oh, I go to hell. So once we grasp this idea that there is a huge wheel called samsara that takes in all conditions of life in the material world, 8,400,000 species of life. 8,400,000. What is that? Any millionaires here? You a millionaire? No? I have. It's so easy for these things to become like jargon for us. 8,400,000 species of life. 8,400,000 species. I remember many years ago when I was a student, there was a book going around called A Million, just called A Million. And you open the book up, and it had 200 dots on each page. It was a 500-page book. A million dots. Just to put a million dots, 200 a page, in a book, you come up with a 500-page book. And then if you think every single dot is a form of life in the material world, it is so vast. It is so vast. If you imagine the calibration of that wheel, and we're on it. And we talk about evolution, the mundane evolutionists talk about how one species becomes another species, and ultimately now we have the human species, which is the ultimate, according to them. We have a very different conception of consciousness being something that can evolve to a higher level or it can devolve to a lower level. And this is all that's going on for us in our entanglement in the material energy. Under the influence of the three modes of material nature, well, we sometimes find ourselves in a heavenly planet. And sometimes we find ourselves, as Prabhupada used to say, as a worm in stool. Qualitatively, on a spiritual level, there is no difference between that person who is in the body of a demigod and that person who is in the body of that worm. What is different is the consciousness. The consciousness can be purified or contaminated. The problem in the material world for us as residents of the material world is that our consciousness is very contaminated through contact with the modes of material nature. Guna Sangha. We have been in Guna Sangha since time immemorial. That's another phrase we can just throw off, time immemorial. But if you get into the figures, you get into the numbers, it's, as they say, it's mind-boggling. 311 trillion, 40 billion years. 100 years of the life of Brahma. And we've been in this material world for countless creations, billions, trillions, quadrillions, and on you go. The amount of time that we have been involved in Guna Sangha is incalculable. And therefore, we are now conditioned. We are conditioned. So then the concept, the first concept that Krishna gives to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna, you're an eternal living being. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor is there a time in the future when any of us will cease to be, is a very hard concept to grasp. Because we are very, very deeply embodied. As the next verse says, Dehinoshmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapta dhiras tatra namuyati. Because our consciousness has devolved through Guna Sangha, through association with the three modes of material nature, seeking pleasure through sense gratification, our consciousness has devolved. But our consciousness can evolve back to what it should be, what it actually is in reality. This is a very great science. Very great science. There are many, many, many factors to be discussed in this regard. But it all comes down to some very simple principles. Just like we see with Sanatana Goswami, when he approaches Lord Chaitanya and seeks instruction on the basis of the fact that he is bewildered. I don't know who I am. I have so many material qualifications. I'm respected for those qualifications in human society. But to tell you truthfully, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm for. Why would I ask a question like that? Because whatever I have and whatever I'm doing does not satisfy me. And so therefore we see, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, after the sages have asked their initial six questions, of Suta Goswami, his response is, the first question is, what is the Dharma? What is the Supreme Dharma? There are so many dharmas, so many occupational duties, so many social situations, so many ontological situations, so many states of consciousness you can be in. But what is the Param Dharma? What is the Supreme Dharma? And that is very succinctly answered. Savaipung samparo dhammo yato bhaktir dhoksaje ohoitaki apratihata yayatma supersediti. The supreme occupation for all humanity is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this service must become uninterrupted and unmotivated in order to completely satisfy the self. Now this is the platform of what is called Paramahansa Yoga. And Krishna very strongly advises Arjuna at the end of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in all circumstances, Arjuna, you be a yogi. A yogi is higher than, being engaged in yoga is higher than any other occupational activity that you can engage in the material world. Because that links us with adhoksaja, yoga, all forms of yoga, gradually bring us to the point where we engage in bhakti yoga, whereby we are able to approach the transcendental Lord in a personal way. And this is the purpose of the human form of life, the goal of the human form of life. There are so many arrangements for approaching this situation. But if you read very carefully the purport to the last verse of the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna explains to Arjuna that devotional service supersedes everything. Study of the Vedas, practice of austerity, giving in charity, any Vedic activity that is recommended for advancement in life, is Prabhupada, in the purport, in one sentence, he says, Krishna consciousness is so, the wonderful thing of Krishna consciousness is that in one stroke, everything is superseded. And you come to the Paramahansa platform. You come to the supreme platform. But it's a gradual thing. It's a gradual process. It is what a lifetime as a human being is meant for. And as we see, everything happens gradually. From the moment of conception, everything is happening gradually. Gradual increments, practically imperceptible, and then as a lifetime passes, under the influence of time, imperceptibly, change is always going on. Always going on. The process of Krishna consciousness, the process of bhakti yoga, gives us technology by which we can actually utilize the passing of time in a way which is beneficial to us. Not just beneficial in a temporary relative sense, but in the absolute sense, in that we become gradually situated where our devotional service to the Lord, our thinking of the Lord, becomes uninterrupted and unmotivated by anything other than love. And as the last line says, this will bring complete satisfaction. Yayatma, supersedity. To the self. And you will benefit a lot by studying the lectures Srila Prabhupada gave on this verse. Actually, the whole of the second chapter of the Bhagavatam is, it's such a seminal, important chapter. One of the most, succinct and complete philosophical dissertations that you'll come across anywhere. In 34 verses, basically, and then you add the third chapter as well. But in the second chapter, basically, Suta Goswami lays out completely what he's going to discuss in great detail for the rest of the dissertation of the Bhagavatam. Just like in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lays out what he's going to talk about, really, in the rest of the Bhagavad Gita. And these things are happening in real time. It's not like we get to the end of the first chapter, we don't read there that Krishna says, well, Arjuna, now we've finished chapter one and we'll move on to chapter two. Same thing in the Bhagavatam. It's been chapterized, but it's chapterized after the event. In the event, it's a complete flow of consciousness. And that has to be taken into account. But anyway, Prabhupada, I think, from memory right now, gave, there are 19 recorded lessons, 19 recorded lectures on Savai Pulsam Paro Dhammo. Probably one of the verses Prabhupada spoke the most on in the entirety of his teachings. And in one of those lectures, he talks about the different levels of the self. The mind and the senses, and therefore the body, the intelligence, and then the soul. But then he takes it one step further and the super soul. So satisfaction is what everyone is looking for. I'm a child of the 60s. There's a very famous song by the Rolling Stones called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. Well, so what? Well, if you seriously look at it, that is what we want. We want to be satisfied. No more hankering and lamenting for things, but satisfied. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that one of the austerities of the mind is to be satisfied. Stop hankering for things in the material world. Stop lamenting over what you've lost, but just be satisfied with what you've got. And as Bhaktivinoda says, forget the past that sleeps, and there the future dweller do all, but act in times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. And this brings satisfaction. Ohoitaki apratihata. Unmotivated and uninterrupted, pure, unalloyed devotional service, favorably rendered, and then it goes on. Anyabilasita sunyam. The famous verse. Anya bilasita sunyam gana kama dhyanavritam anukulyena anukulyena Krishna anu sinanam bhakti uttama. This is the practice of bhakti which is beyond uttama. Uttama, it is beyond any trace of ignorance. And the whole material world is generated out of the mode of ignorance. So satisfaction of the self is not enough. We must satisfy the Lord. The Lord must be satisfied. And Krishna can never be satisfied until you are back with him. Srila Prabhupada, how long have we got for class? Right up to 9 o'clock. I'll run out of things to say. Srila Prabhupada, if you listen carefully, so many times Srila Prabhupada says Krishna is very much anxious for you to come back to him. Krishna is very much anxious. And then he says another thing he says so often. Therefore, we are opening so many centers all over the world just to give people a chance to hear about Krishna. Because once we begin to hear about Krishna, an evolutionary process begins to occur within our consciousness. No matter how degraded our consciousness may have become, there is a qualitative change. And as I said, in the material world, actually, there's no qualitative change. Just like the idea, you're going to die. So how would you like to die? Unlimited ways. But what's the result? You're going to die. So there's no choice. Would you like to die by taking arsenic or strychnine? Well, there'll be different symptoms of the process of the disintegration of the body, but the result is the same, death. But the first thing, the very first thing that we learn, and this Prabhupada stresses so much, our philosophy, the cornerstone of everything in our philosophy, is that we are eternal living beings. Life is not a temporary affair. Life is eternal. There was never a time when we did not exist. There will never be a time when we do not exist. And what is one of the symptoms, the basic symptoms of life? Consciousness and activity. We are eternally conscious and we are eternally active. So unless we are eternally consciously active in the service of the Lord in our constitutional position, we can never be satisfied. And Krishna will not be satisfied with that, not because he's displeased with you, but because by us putting ourselves in the material world, in ignorance of Krishna, we remove ourselves from Krishna's association. We remove ourselves from our relationship with Krishna. And Krishna doesn't want that. Krishna's not satisfied by that. You want to go and forget me forever? I'm not satisfied by that. That's not Krishna's position. And therefore, Prabhupada says, Krishna's very much anxious for you to come back to him. So there must be intervention in this. Just like there was a program that was running on television, they have all these, what do they call them? Real life programs now, where they'll take the camera out and they'll go around with the police and whatever. There was one called Intervention, which was about people with drug addiction problems and how family members would stage an intervention. Break the pattern. Break the static situation that this person is in. Like if you nail the toe of your shoe to the floor, you're just only going to walk in circles. round and around and around. And that's what we are like. The word grihamedi. A medi is a stick in the ground that you tie an animal to. And all it can do is walk around in circles. And it can walk around in such a way that the rope gets all bound up around and it's stuck there in the middle, or it can walk in another way and it goes in a big circle. But it's just stuck within that situation. So the Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna's appearances in the material world, leaving Bhagavad Gita, leaving Srimad Bhagavatam behind. This Bhagavatam has arisen after Krishna's departure. He left the Bhagavad Gita, and within the Bhagavatam we see he left the Uddhava Gita, which is an elaboration, a very detailed elaboration on the Bhagavad Gita. Why is all of this here? Because Krishna wants us to come back to him. He wants us to evolve our consciousness back to its original pristine condition, wherein we don't know anything other than Krishna. And it's not that we just know Krishna in terms of facts and figures and details. We don't know anything other than Krishna. Ashlishava padam pinashtomam adashanam mamahatam korotuva. We don't know anything other than Krishna as our lover, as the person we love. And everyone loves Krishna. In the spiritual world, that is manifest everywhere. In the material world, it's dormant. It's dormant within us. Very interesting word, dormant. Dormant is used in regard to how the trees in the winter, in the autumn, they drop their leaves, and during the winter they stand as if they're dead. But they're dormant. They're not dead, they're asleep. And then when the touch of spring comes, they wake up again. Something that is manifest becomes unmanifest, but under the right conditions, it again becomes manifest. So this process that we've been given, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, is a guaranteed process for reawakening, for purifying, clarifying, cleansing, detoxing our consciousness or our chitta. The problem is the chitta has become totally contaminated. The mind, the intelligence, the ego, and more deeply, the heart. The heart is for love. And because of the contamination of the consciousness, our choice of objects to love now is only based upon the manifestation of the three modes of material nature. But by hearing from authoritative sources, then our consciousness changes. This is an intervention. And without that intervention, we are trapped. Devi esha gunamayima mamaya duratyaya. You cannot go beyond the influence of the modes of material nature. But Krishna comes and says, well, just surrender to me and I will deliver you from all of this. I will take you out of all of this. But in order for that to actually occur for us now, we have to have the association of Paramahansas. There have to be Paramahansas in the world. Krishna's intervention is very sharp and very abrupt. 125 years Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. 125, what's the fraction? 125 over 8,600,000,000. Very small percentage of the time of one day of Brahma. Krishna appears in a very sharp way. And we read, as we read 10th canto, Krishna book, so many things happen. Or we read Mahabharata, so much is readjusted, reset by that intervention. But then he's gone. And he doesn't come back again for another 8,600,000,000 years. And in the Kali Yuga that comes after that, Lord Chaitanya appears. 48 years, another sharp, quick, abrupt, in, out, gone. So much is left behind. So much instruction, so much knowledge is left behind. And then, for 12 years, Srila Prabhupada appears. The Senapati Bhakta appears and spreads these teachings all over the world. All over a world which we understand from the pranam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. The world has become totally suffused with impersonalism and voidism. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada comes and Gauravani Pracharane, spreads the teachings of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are no different from the teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So these sharp, abrupt, powerful interventions happen in a very short space of time also. And then, as from our perspective, eons of time roll out. So how is the knowledge going to go generationally down in human society in such a way that real evolution of consciousness can take place? Kiba vipra, kiba nyasi, Sudra keni noi, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru oi. There must be gurus. There must be gurus in human society. And it's not a term that can be bandied about that you're a guru in regard to making sponge cakes, or you're a guru in how to change a tire on a car, or whatever. You may become. There's paramparas for all of these things. The knowledge has to be handed down in all areas of activity. But the guru's business, the guru appears, real guru appears in a sampradaya parampara. The Mayavadis, they have parampara. Carpenters have a parampara. The whole apprenticeship system that is to some extent still there within the trades is a parampara system. You learn from a teacher. But you're not a guru in the electrical business. You're not a guru in the plumbing business. You're a guru, Hare Krishna. You're a guru in the parampara of sampradaya. Sampradaya means complete knowledge freely given. And unless that is there, what does Krishna say in the fourth chapter? This was going on, Arjuna. I told all of this to the sun god. Millions of years ago, the sun god, he instructed his son, and his son instructed his, and so it came down through the saintly kings, but now it appears to be lost, so I'm re-establishing it. And in the Kali Yuga, this is very important. Kibra Vipra, Kibra Nyasi, Sudra Keni Noi. In the Kali Yuga, actually, it's explained. Everyone's a Sudra. The Vanashram is broken down. And Srila Prabhupada came into the midst of the Malechas and the Yavanas. And he's made us the custodians of this knowledge. The custodians. And we have a responsibility to disseminate this knowledge in human society. Because this is the truth. This is the truth. The immutable truth. There is God, the Supreme One, Prabhupada says in the preface to the Bhagavatam. There is God. But God is not the name of a person. God is the name of a position. You can get all kinds of generic information about God. God is the Supreme Being. God is immortal. God is eternal. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnibenevolent. All right, that's okay. That's fine. But who is that? You can describe the role of the Prime Minister of a country or the President of the United States, but who is that? The question is, who is that? And this is the point that Narad makes to Vyas right at the beginning. And this is why the Bhagavatam comes, because the theology of God as a person is the highest truth. Mata para taram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mai savam idang protam sutre mani ganaiva. Krishna exists, and we all know he exists, because we are surrendering to him on a daily basis and he is reciprocating with us. And as the saying goes, they can't take that away from me. It's an experiential process. Vishaya vinivatante nirahara dehina rasapyasyam rasopyasya param drishtva nivatate. We are experiencing a higher taste and we are satisfied. But we should not just become smug and complacent and self-satisfied. Because actually, our satisfaction can only be complete when Krishna is completely satisfied. And Krishna is completely satisfied with the preacher. He makes this conclusion at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. There is no one in this world more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than the one who explains this to the devotees. So we all have to become an explainer. Stop being a complainer. Become an explainer. Make everything very clear to whoever we can, wherever we can, whenever we can. This is a great science in itself. But anyone can take it up. Anyone can take it up. Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha, ruling over demons. But he was a paramahansa, the best of human beings. And thus, he is our guru. Arjuna is a grihastha, warrior. And where did Lord Chaitanya stay when he went to Allahabad? Allahabad Varanasi. I get these names mixed up. He stays in the house of a Shudra. Lord Chaitanya was making the point. And he makes the point to Korma Brahma, you become a guru and you deliver this land. This land just may be your street or your suburb or your district according to your capacity. Doesn't matter. Gold is gold. Doesn't matter whether it's a speck of gold or it's a ton of gold. Pure gold is pure gold. So if you can deliver this message to anyone, then you become very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. You become very dear to the Parampara. You become very dear to Krishna. And guaranteed, you will go back home, back to Godhead. Which above and beyond everything else is the prime mission that Srila Prabhupada put before us as individuals. Go back home to Godhead. And here's how you do it. So we're all on this journey now. And it's ecstatic. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any reflections on anything that we talked about or any questions? Hare Krishna. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Hold on, I'm old and deaf.
Hare Krishna.
And this has got a bit of an echo. Yes, sir.
Probably in the beginning when I came here, you said this is a gradual process.
Gradual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm listening and hearing this from years and years.
And you're gradually beginning to understand that?
And when it's in the every morning when I wake up, go front of the mirror, still the same.
Well, the same but different. It's relative. Life is full of repetition. Like you say, every day I get up, I go and look in the mirror, I brush my teeth, I go to the bathroom, I take a shower, I take my breakfast. I go to work. I come home. Do it again the next day, the next day, the next day. But imperceptibly, you're older now than when all that started. Imperceptibly. So, what exactly is your point?
The point is that, like, we don't know what happened even the next second.
Then?
Now we're saying it's a gradual process. If we're taking a gradual as a grant.
Say?
Like if we say the gradual process, if we say the gradual process is, we're taking as a granted. So like I'm listening and other things, so I'm not taking this seriously.
Things take place. Like there's a very nice little vignette in the Nectar of Devotion where Prabhupada is talking about how you transition from regulated devotional service into spontaneous devotional service. And he gives a very simple example in that you if you become a pujari or you engage in, and we all have to do some puja. So Prabhupada says you have to offer a flower to Krishna. So it becomes a duty to gather some flowers and offer them to Krishna. He said, but then one day you see a flower and you immediately think, oh, what a beautiful flower. Let me offer that to Krishna. Something has shifted. Imperceptibly. But neha bikrama nasho si, there's no loss or diminution in this process. Little drops of water wear away the stone. Or as they say, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Yes? Or here, Prabhupada was asked, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? He said, you can become Krishna conscious in a minute, a moment. But that moment may take many thousands of lifetimes to reach. But you're going somewhere. And the other thing to consider in this is that the process of momentum. When you start driving your car, you're aware of acceleration up to the point where then you're cruising on the motorway. And you can lose track of how fast you're going. Or when you're up in an airplane, when the plane's taking off, this energy, you feel it, and then you're cruising, and you're looking down, and you think, it doesn't seem like we're moving. But you're going at hundreds of miles an hour. So the process of devotional service is like that. In the beginning, there's a rush of ecstasy, of exhilaration, excitement, realization. But then, the day in, the day out of it all has to happen. There's a saying, a Sufi saying, before enlightenment, drawing water and gathering wood. After enlightenment, drawing water and gathering wood. But the consciousness is gradually becoming cleansed. It didn't become as filthy as it is overnight. So you have to allow things to have their time. You can't go out in the night and pull the little shoots in your garden to make them grow. You have to wait. The process is taking place. But we are ultimately not in control of the process even. We practice the process. But ultimately, you can't just say, oh, now I've got my Bhakti Shastri certificate, I've got my Bhakti Vaibhav certificate. Why am I not self-realized? Where's Krishna? Why is Krishna not appearing to me? This is all the residue of mundane conditioning. We're conditioned also to, we walk in this room, flick the switch, the light's on. It wasn't always like that. But we've known nothing else in our life. But then the appearance of something new, like in technology now, AI is becoming a big issue. And people who are very young are quite disturbed about it. In terms of, well, what will be my future? How will this affect my career moves and all this sort of stuff? But those of us who are older have been through, we lived before there was transistor radios, before there was television, before there was computers, before there were mobile phones, before there was the internet. Yeah, it's just another thing that's going to happen. But what is our intention in life? You have to understand that, like, the Bhagavad Gita is the prelude. What happens when Arjuna says, now I'm firm and free from doubt and ready to act according to your instructions? Well, then the battle begins. And Arjuna's not a spectator on the battle, he's on the field. So you're on the field. We're on the field of life. We have to navigate. But we have to have somewhere we're going. And Prabhupada says, you mold your life. Mold your life. Gradually mold and change and remove and add. Just get things to the point where you are always thinking of Krishna. It's a practice. And therefore, we are moving from Guna Sangha into Sadhu Sangha. But sometimes we get drawn back. And that's why we have to have the association of the devotees to draw us back this way. We're marginal. I'll go this way. No, I'm going this way. But that firmness and of commitment and decision and determination to do that may take a little time to become fixed. That is why we have the association of devotees to help us keep on track. As the saying goes, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Drift away, mission drift, is an occupational hazard in the material world, not just for devotees, but for anyone who's trying to reach goals. Goal setting is very important, but as soon as you begin to go towards your goal, there's all kinds of things going to try to pull you away. But if you don't have your goal, then you will just be pulled away. There's nothing to come back to. You don't have any bearings. There's a saying that if you don't know where you're going, any way will get you there. So we have a very clear process that has, like Prabhupada says, you don't need a certificate. You don't need somebody to tell you. You just ask yourself, am I progressing in Krishna consciousness? To what degree am I becoming free from lust and greediness for material things? To what degree is that happening? And Krishna is within the heart. Krishna, he's directing our wanderings. He's guiding us. And he'll give you milestones in your own progress. Something will happen and you'll 10 years ago I would have just taken up that proposition for sense gratification just like that. But now I have no taste. Why? Param drishtva, because you're experiencing the higher taste. And you have to keep experiencing it every day. Every day. Somehow, somewhere. Acquire some more taste. It doesn't have to be big either. Just some little contemplation of something. Yes? And then imperceptibly, things change to the point where you don't want to think about anything else. You don't want to talk about anything else. You don't want to go anywhere that's got nothing to do with Krishna. You don't want to not be in the association of devotees. All of this is symptomatic that the consciousness is becoming purified. So, like here in Australia, you've got these Mortine spray. And their logo is a dog running with an insect biting his tail. It says, when you're on a good thing, stick to it. The good motto for devotees. We're on the best thing, so stick to it. Stick to it.
Thank you. Yes? Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very nice question. And we're almost 9 o'clock, so. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Sri Rupang